Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express.
Regulators! Mauna!
It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. Warmer G was on the streets trying to consume some skirts for the E so I can get some phones rolling in my ride, chilling out.
Welcome to show 68 of On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. Sean, just a couple of days away from the NFL season.
Man, and with that being said, of course, teams cutting their rosters down to the 53, the final 53. And of course, in Oakland, there was a couple of surprises, but there wasn't any bigger of surprise as the actual call for the starting quarterback. Of course, we're not talking about a cut, but we're talking about Dennis Allen naming the starter for week one against the New York Jets, and that is Derek Carr. Sean Wally, are you excited at all?
I think he's a better option for your offense than Matt Schaub. Schaub has been average at best, if not lower than average, the last couple of years in Houston, and he didn't do anything in training camp or the preseason to have the Raider Nation think that he's the answer.
Well, you know, this is a first, and for those of you who think that this is something that is nomenclature for the Raiders to actually bring in a quarterback and start another, there's a little bit more into that. And what I mean by that is Derek Carr is the first rookie quarterback. Now think about this, Sean Wally, the first rookie quarterback to start for the Oakland Raiders from week one since 1970. So that is, something that is an oddity for Oakland. Of course, they're starting a fresh rookie going out week one against the New York Jets.
I think only one of us was around the last time that happened in Raider Town.
I don't even know who that might be. But
Dawn back at the station.
Yes. And that's some exciting news. Some exciting news for Raider Nation. Of course, you know, this is something that has been talked about, thrown about for a while as far as, you know, as you were saying, Matt Schaub hasn't shown that he is capable of taking over the team. And, you know, this is a little bit of deja vu from the year before, of course, between Matt Flynn and Terrell Pryor. And, you know, that didn't work out too well. And hopefully this time around, and, I look at Derek Carr and I see a sound quarterback. You know, I'm going to be rooting for him 110%. I hope that it works out. I hope that he's that lightning in a bottle, kind of like what happened up in the Pacific Northwest, you know, in Russell Wilson. You hate to do comparisons, but, you know, at the same time, I'm hoping that he can actually, meaning Derek Carr, can actually have some type of sustainability and get himself off to a great start. And that will, you know, see whether he's going to have a good career or not.
You know, I think week one with the Jets, the Raiders have as good a shot as anybody to come away with a win in a hostile environment. The Jets, you know, they're a decent NFL team, but they're nothing to be scared about.
Yeah, you know, you're talking about, you know, a team as well with quarterback controversies, not as deep as one would say, but, you know, you're looking at Geno Smith, who is, you know, in his second year in the NFL and trying to find his legs and find himself. And then, of course, in comes Michael Vick. You know, that was the rumor that maybe there would be, you know, a stronger quarterback controversy. But so far, up to this point, it has been Geno Smith that has actually taken over the reins. And, you know, it is what it is. I think Oakland has a favorable schedule in the beginning of the year. It has been said that the Oakland Raiders have the toughest schedule in the NFL. But I think that if they can handle business in the first two out of three games, you know, they can put themselves in a very good position.
Of course, the preseason ending on Thursday, and the Raiders looked good against the world champs from Seattle.
Yeah, you know, it's one thing, you know, to play, you know, against the world champions, you know, and, you know, of course, you know, the Seattle Seahawks, they have everything in place. And, you know, I know that they, you know, were probably playing a lot of base, you know, base defense and, you know, doing a lot of generic stuff offensively, but there is a progression. And that progression is that both teams want to be at a certain place before, you know, the season takes off. And of course, these two will meet in the regular season, and that is up in Seattle, November the 2nd, when the Oakland Raiders head up to Seattle to take on the world champions. I do think that maybe, just maybe, that Seattle Seahawks will be, you know, in a different frame of mind, if you know what I mean, Sean Wally. And I know you'll be working that game, of course, CBS, and that should be exciting for you.
Yeah, it's not every day that the AFC West comes to town, and it's been, what, since 2010 the last time the NFC West and AFC West met up on the schedule. And so it'll be good to see the teams in the regular season. You get the Oaklands, the Denvers. Of course, Seattle goes to Kansas City and San Diego. And it's just nice to see different teams, somebody you're not always used to, a new foe come to town and let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of that, you know, that old, you know, the old meets new meets old again, of course, meaning the Seattle Seahawks were once in the AFC West, as you're mentioning. And, you know, getting a chance to play against their old rivals, and that should be a lot of fun. You know, but moving across the bay, Sean Wally, some big things that are going on, and it's not good when you're looking at the prospectus of the San Francisco 49ers.
You know, Sean, things go from not so great to worse in 49er country, and we'll talk about this a lot more with our second big-time guest tonight, which will be Mindy Bach from Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area in the second half of the show. But the 49ers have had injury after injury. Their offense is not looking good. And now they have defensive lineman Ray McDonald hit with felony domestic violence charges. Not only is that a felony and a horrible thing to do, but in terms of football, he's looking at being hit with a 6-game suspension.
Yeah, and that's after Roger Goodell came out this week and said that, you know, he was a little light on Baltimore Ravens running back Ray Rice. And you know, here you have Ray McDonald coming out and having this felony charge against him. That's not looking good. And of course, you know, you're talking about, you know, things compounded on Aldon Smith as well with the 9-game suspension. So there are some things that the 49ers need to work out. And you know, I was listening taking a look at some facts as far as the 49ers are concerned since 2010. Now listen to this, Sean Wally. Since 2010, no franchise has had more arrests in the NFL than the San Francisco 49ers. Now think about that. 2010 to now, no one has had more arrests as a football franchise in the NFL than the San Francisco 49ers. Now you would think that, you know, there's been a lot of fun poked out, you know, as far as the history and the lineage of the team across the bay, meaning the Oakland Raiders, on how they have a lot of, you know, people that are in and out of jail and this, that, and the other. That seems to be the moniker in Northern California, Sean Wally. Can I ask you a question? Who is the last person that you know of to date for the Oakland Raiders that has been in jail? I'll wait. Yeah, exactly. And so with that being said, the San Francisco 49ers have some things to do with their franchise. And, you know, it has to get better. It has to, because this is a year that they're supposed to do some great things. They're a team that is destined to get themselves back into the NFC Championship and of course, probably play against your team, the Seattle Seahawks, Sean Wally. And, you know, if they don't get it right, they could be in a lot of trouble this year.
Yeah, things are not shaping up for a great season in San Francisco, and they're going to have to change some things, not only on the field, but off the field as well, as you're talking about all the arrests they've had. And you have to wonder, are they doing enough background checks? Granted, you can't hold a guy's hand and be with him 24/7, but this is getting a little ridiculous.
Yeah, a little ridiculous to say the least. And, of course, yeah, they're going to have to get themselves back into shape. So let's go out to the Holy Smoke Nuts hotline as we have guest number one coming in, and that is none other than Mr. Chris Peace. Chris Peace, how you doing today?
I'm hanging in there, but I've decided since you've got an engineer named Don and then two Sean's, tonight I'm going to be Ron. So you're going to have the Ron and Sean and Sean and Don show. Now, wait a minute. Let's make that John. So now we can John and – wait a minute. Don and Sean and John.
I was thinking the same thing, Krista. You know, we have to make sure that we get that rhyme scheme going. But, man, you are a a busy person. And when I say that, I mean, you've been in professional hockey for about 20 years now doing PA announcing. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, hockey and a ton of other stuff. Like my grandfather used to say, I'm about as busy as a two-tongued cat in a butt-licking contest. So that's what I do, is just about any sport. If, you know, they have microphone, we'll travel.
And so for those of our listeners who don't know, Chris, you have a lot of humor. And, of course, Sean Wally getting a chance to talk with you. You guys had an endeavor just last week. And go ahead and tell our listeners what that was down there in Arizona.
Well, we can all do it together.
We are queuing in Sweet Georgia Brown.
Absolutely.
The great whistle by Crispies.
That was an interesting proposition, particularly since I'm of the age, I remember as a youngster, Little League out in Los Angeles, we went and saw the Harlem Globetrotters. Every year it was an annual trek with the Little League team, sort of a reward for the end of the year. And getting to see Meadowlark Lemon, you always knew that bucket of confetti was coming, but you still hoped one time it would be water. You know, it was just an amazing experience to be in a situation where you're actually auditioning for basically one of the sports icons of America.
Now, Chris, in terms of auditions, and you've done a lot of them over the years, how was that one compared to the rest that you've done? Are they all different, are they all fairly similar?
I used to joke with my mother that, you know, I'm a professional auditioner. That's what I do most of the time. I get about 10% of the gigs that I audition for. I make most of my living voice work, you know, radio and television commercials and different things like that. So you end up going through in the course of a month. You look at your calendar and you go, geez, I auditioned 40 times. I got two jobs. Hey, I'm doing pretty good. So, that one, let's put it this way. Again, in terms of the pressure, the prestige, the name of the organization, you know, it's one of those kind of times in your life where you're going, you know, this is one that I do want to ace. This is what I want to put a little effort into. It was nothing short of, you know, again, as a personal thrill, just in terms of the background and my life experience and sort of that, you know, it was one of those moments, too, when, from a nostalgic standpoint, where you think to yourself, good Lord, I'm getting old. Because when I was young, the Harlem Globetrotters were huge. They had the Saturday morning cartoon and everything else. And they're still packing them in all these years later. They just do it right, and they have a formula that really works. Now, of course, the Washington Generals obviously don't have a formula that works. one victory in the last half a century, so... It was enjoyable, and Sean did a great job, by the way. He's got that down pat. So just about any of the guys that were there, that was the other thing about the actual audition itself, the competition. They pretty well scoured America for some really good talent, and it's going to be a tough choice for them find out who it is that can make a schedule like that December to May. And then, of course, they had a couple of lovely ladies. So, yeah, it was a very interesting process.
Well, Chris, I appreciate that. Words of goodness and kindness coming from you, that means a lot. And you talked about voice work that you've done. You were telling me that you're doing some work for the Portland Thunder of the Arena Football League, and they're up here in the Northwest in my neck of the woods. And how did that come about for you, being all the way on the East Coast?
Yeah, that's the nature of the business nowadays, particularly since most of the online audition process, now it puts you in a position where, the irony is, I joke with people, you know, I've been doing this so many years, 30, 40 years, used to be that you were in a smaller pool of talent. Well, nowadays they go online, they put every job out there, and, you know, what ends up happening is, instead of auditioning again against, you know, the top 10 or 12 voices in your market, you're now competing with hundreds and hundreds of people from across America who are all going to get access to this internet, this nationwide interweb thingy, which I predict personally is really going to catch on. I think it's got really, really amazing potential. But anyway, that whole process went through a guy in Nashville who knew an agent in Nashville who was looking for a friend who worked for Portland, an agency, and who knows how do you connect the dots that way? But I was joking with a friend of mine. It used to be not long ago, I would end up fulfilling some of these car dealers or even, television news with the 10 o'clock, hey, coming up at 10, for death, destruction, dismemberment, tune in live, that kind of a deal. And you used to run to FedEx with a CD and, it'd be overnight for the next day. now, and this is not an exaggeration, had a friend on an airliner who had a pickup on a line that had to change for a car dealer in New Orleans. I turned it around in my personal office studio, put it in an MP3 format, emailed it to him on the plane. He listened to it, approved it, emailed it to New Orleans, and that evening, about 4 hours later, it was on the air.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds amazing,
right?
How things... Yeah, things
that's
just something. Quickly move.
That's just not right. This world's gone mad.
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, you know, technology and that whole internet thing, you know, I tend to believe, you know, with you that it's definitely going to take off here.
Oh, it's amazing. Absolutely.
Now, Chris Pease joining us here on The Double. And, of course, Chris, you have an awesome voice. For those who are listening to the show, I mean, let's face it. I mean, you have a voice that is right on as far as the clarity is concerned. Your decision-making as far as going into radio and PA announcing was almost pretty simple. It sounds like you were in entertainment a little bit. Your neighbors with Bob Denver and got to hang out with his son growing up.
Yeah, that was you know, amazing. My dad was working with NASA. He was on Wernher von Braun's team. And it's always been a joke when, you know, you're saying, well, geez, come on. It's not like you're some kind of rocket scientist. Oh, wait, yes, you are. So a pretty well, you know, Mensa level genius. He got sent out to California to Canoga Park to work on the Saturn V program, putting men on the moon, the responsibility for the second stage engines. So he did, you know, rather well. He was not, you know, extraordinarily wealthy by, you know, any standard, but back then he did well. And everyone decided to get out of Los Angeles and move to the Northern Valley, which was up in Agoura, Thousand Oaks, Westlake, Malibu area. So all the television and movie actors did the same thing. They didn't want to live in the, you know, the mess and the smog of L.A., so everybody moved up there. So where we lived, we literally had access to, you know, those kind of folks. Again, you mentioned Bob Denver's son, Pat, and I were good friends. My first love was actually Teresa Eubanks, Bob Eubanks of the Newlywed Game, his daughter. So you grow up in that environment, and if you have any sort of predisposition anyway, which, of course, you know, being the crazy son of a gun that I am, it was probably nurtured early on and, you know, into my 20s. Let's give you a secret. If you want to sound like this, just smoke a lot of Marlboros and drink a lot of Jack Daniels. You'll sound exactly like me. There's no secret. That's just how it happens. But seriously, when I did make that decision that, you know, it was going to be something that I'd pursue, it was, as you rightly point out, it's something that you just, you know, other people pointed out to you. But the amazing thing is being able to remember back to going to Dodger games, being lucky enough to be a bat boy for a few games. I wasn't so impressed with Manny Mota and Steve Garvey and the whole lot. And, you know, it wasn't that I didn't, you know, I had the same awe that any other kid. It was that there was always something in the back of my mind that said, my God, that guy just said, now, ladies and gentlemen, please stand for our national anthem. And 50,000 people had to do what he said. I was like, that's cool. I want to do that one day. So the amazing thing is to think back, you know what, it was always kind of sitting there.
You know, Chris, I never thought about that until you just mentioned it. But, you know, being a PA announcer has some form of control. I mean, you do. You control what the audience does. You control how they feel. And you can control the tempo, actually, of a game. And so, yeah, you're making a lot of sense there. I never thought of it that way. That's good stuff.
Well, you know what's amazing to me, especially after having done it for about 3 decades now, is the change that it's an unbelievable metamorphosis that's gone on. And I can trace it back personally because I started in the early 80s. You were basically sent out there with one deal in mind, and that was your owners and your management basically said, you are going to be as objective as possible with a little more enthusiasm from the home team. That's exactly the pre-scripted routine for PA announcers. And if you're as old as I am, I just turned 54 last week. My teeth, of course, are like 82. But if you're as old as I am, you're into your 50s. If you remember in the 70s and 80s, there really wasn't a whole lot of leverage for that PA announcer. In other words, it was almost a mandate just in terms of sportsmanship, but you didn't root for the home team. Then suddenly came along Michael Jordan. And the Chicago Bulls did an intro that basically went over the edge. Now everybody was giving carte blanche. And in other words, it didn't just happen in basketball. It happened in basketball first. It then went on to hockey. Then it went on to football. Now, for example, just this weekend, the hockey horn, which is basically the best post-event celebration in a sporting event, is now being adopted by college football programs. If it's not a ship's horn, it's a train whistle or a train horn. And again, it reinforces, it gives that home advantage. Well, the announcer played right into that. In other words, now you do function basically as a cheerleader with 10,000 watts behind your voice. It's an amazing metamorphosis that's transcribed. It's happened during my career of the last 30 years, and it's been amazing to watch.
Chris Peace joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express, the public address announcer for the Gwinnett Gladiators of the ECHL, among many other voice work items. And Chris, one of those voice jobs came about thanks to a traffic ticket. Why don't you tell that hilariously awesome story?
Well, I got some work actually for probably, again, of all the ultimate ironies, for the Jack Daniel's distillery, because I was working at a radio station. It was the studio used by Jerry Reed. A lot of people don't realize that Jerry Reed wasn't just an actor in Smokey and the Bandit and, you know, a successful country artist. He's listed as one of the top 10 greatest guitarists of all time. And again, in terms of studio albums and whatever, he had a little place in Tullahoma, Tennessee, and it was eventually sold for a radio station called Boogie 93. So I was your friendly disc jockey in the early 90s working at Boogie 93. And one of the shifts that I had was early in the weekend mornings trying to get up there. I was running late one morning and zipped right through Lynchburg, Tennessee. Now, the speed limit, 35. And Sheriff Billy K. Spray was not too pleased with the fact that I was going about 60, even though it was 5:15 in the morning. And I had just purchased a new vehicle and had a temporary tag. So his attitude, I don't think he wanted to be up at 5:15 anyway. He certainly didn't want to be pulling over some guy going 60 through downtown Lynchburg. And he informed me that Tennessee, you're not allowed to drive around without a temporary tag. Well, of course, I was living in Alabama at the time, so now I'm a double outlaw. I'm over the speed limit, and I got a temporary tag. And, of course, I have a smart mouth, and I turned to him and I said, sorry, I didn't stop and get a law book at the state line. Wrong thing to say. So, Lynchburg doesn't have their own courthouse. They hold the traffic court in the firehouse every third Tuesday of the month. So I had to come back a couple weeks later. Fortunately, again, opportune, fortuitously, as I go into my mental thesaurus, there happened to be a representative from Jack Daniel's distillery who also had a traffic violation. And during the discussion back and forth, which I was this time smartly very respectful of his honor, who was also Sheriff Billy K. Spray, you guessed it, played about $200 in fines, but ended up getting some work with Jack Daniel's distillery out of it. So it's a small world kind of story. And I still own a pair of boots that I got out of the deal with a nice big old number 7 into the back end of it. You know, basically, it looks like they took some sort of a cattle iron and just emblazoned the back of those boots. And I still own those proudly to this day.
Isn't it amazing how you go from ticked off and not thrilled to have that traffic ticket, and then that ticket turns into that amazing job opportunity?
Absolutely. It's just, you know, again, this is one of those kind of, yeah, it's one of those kind of businesses, too, where I've always looked back on certain things. There were moments where you look at other people's careers and you see how they've gone, and you always wonder, well, now, why didn't this happen for me, or why wasn't I selected for this? There are so many commercials that I'll see nowadays that are on, and I have auditioned for it, and then I'll see it on the air, and I just sort of shake my head. But again, the other side of it is that it's actually a privilege, to be honest with you, to be in this business, to have the opportunities and some of the things that you get to do over the years. There's probably not a person listening tonight to this interview that hasn't heard me on something, and one of them would probably be back 98, 99 when Sega Dreamcast had their big Jet Grind radio release, and then the year after, I was the guy that if you were watching TV, you didn't have any choice but to hear me, because I was the guy that came out the end and went, Sega Dreamcast, rated T for teen. And then this Japanese woman would come on and go, "Saya!" And, you know, everybody saw those commercials for 2 years. But that's all I said. But I actually probably made more money for those very few words than I probably made the 10 years previously doing everything under the sun. So, again, you never know when it's, again, it's kind of like playing the lottery.
Chris Peace joining us here on The Double. And, Chris, you know, it sounds like things, you know, just fall into place, you know, for you as far as your career is concerned, but actually you've moved around quite a bit, and it's not as easy as one would think. I mean, you've touched quite a few states in the connecting 48s, it looks like.
Absolutely. And, you know, if Sean's going to pursue this actively, he's going to have to, it's going to have to become Wally World, that's for sure, because you just have to open your ability to, you know, any opportunity. You need to look at it as it could be the one. There isn't a single person, and I know a lot of them that are very, very successful, and every one of them will tell you the same thing. It is that process. It's in the numbers. You literally cannot. I mean, I make jokes about the auditioning process, but you literally have to be ready to go at a moment's notice. You have to be prepared. You have to do the work. You have to pay the dues. There's no two ways about it. And if you're willing to do that, it's an enormously, you know, not only entertaining but rewarding career. And in terms of being in a situation too, I can't describe how many times over the years, totally lost count. And over this one team that I've worked with here in Atlanta for about last 11 years, the one thing I'm proudest of is I have not missed a single game. So we're at over 400 games for that team alone. And during those 400 games, I can't describe to you how many incredible endings, unbelievable stories, the behind-the-scenes things you get exposed to, the amazing performance that somebody will put on, and the amount of entertainment that you know you gave to a family. It's almost kind of staggering sometimes to think about how many memories that have been created over the course of a career, even doing it at the level that I have. I've done some L.A. Lakers exhibition. I've done some, so, you know, from arena football to beach volleyball to, good Lord, high school football to NASCAR races. There's nothing that you can do in this business, as far as I'm concerned, that gives you more of a taste of every aspect of the game than being that guy right there in the middle, basically trying to give that live experience another little push over the edge. And that's just an extraordinary honor. But it does, like you just said, it does put you in a position where that really becomes dominant. When other people are having a good time and relaxing, well, guess what? You're pretty well working. And there's not too many businesses. I know a lot of people have a problem with sort of looking at the announcer thinking he shows up 10 minutes before and cuts out after the game. That's just not the case. And you end up being the person that looks back on 10, 15, 20 years and says, you know what, I've worked every Thanksgiving. I've worked every Christmas week. I've worked, you know, it does require that sort of dedication and dynamic, but the rewards are extraordinary.
Yeah, and Chris, you definitely play a role as a PA announcer. For those who are PA announcers out there, you know, we definitely play a role in the maturation process of an athlete. And what I mean by that is the way you call a person's name out could very well be that adrenaline, that push that gets them over the edge. And you've called some games, let's face it, for quite a few celebrities. And we're talking about, you know, with the A's and the A's organization, Jose Canseco, Mark McGuire, just to name a few. And so I can only imagine, you know, those guys hearing your voice and how that propels them to play even better.
Well, it's funny how many times you get in the hockey business where you've got these French Canadians where it's like, "Oh, Jack, you got my finger," and you know, "Oh, hey, wait a minute, you didn't pronounce it right." It's like, "Who's stuck in your finger?" Where, yeah, it's just ridiculous. But you try again. You try to get with the guy one on one to have him pronounce it for you, so that you don't, you know, you do him that respect, you do him that honor of not mispronouncing his name. The funny thing is that sometimes you just simply cannot get it right, and it's amazing how many times you'll hear that. When you're visiting, you know, other teams or listening to a broadcast of your home team on the road, and their announcer gets the name wrong, probably a dozen times over the years, you just sort of shake your head and you feel for them. Because again, if you don't have a good organization in the front office that provides one of those, you know, spell it out phonetically pronunciation guides, oh, you could just you can imagine how badly some of these guys' names get just torn to shreds. It is kind of embarrassing.
Chris, it was great meeting you last Wednesday in Phoenix. Be on the lookout for a phone call or email from the Globetrotters. We know they're going to come looking for you. You are amazing. Thank you so much for your time, your insight, and thanks for sharing some water on the rocks with me last Wednesday.
Well, Big Dog, I think you've got the future yourself, and we'll see. Maybe we can share the duties. Oh, I said duties. I'm sorry.
Chris, what I want to know is, when's the comedy tour start? You're hilarious.
Well, I'm telling you what, you can come on out and see me tomorrow night. I'll be in the back patio, drinking my Jack Daniel, smoking my Marlboros, telling some funny, funny jokes. And they're actually rather blue. Got a lot of dyslexic jokes. A dyslexic cop pulled me over just the other day. He said he's going to give me an IUD. I said, oh, that's going to hurt.
Oh, my God. You know, I think we opened a can here, Sean Wally. But hey, Chris, thanks for being on, man. And of course, you know, the door is always open for you. And, you know, Gwinnett, the Gwinnett Gladiators, I'm sure, are definitely happy to have you. And we wish you the best of luck, both you and Sean Wally, on this the Globetrotters gig, which I do believe that the both of you have this locked in, hands down.
Well, Sean, and then Don in the background, you know, hey, have a great one, and it was my pleasure. I appreciate it.
Chris Peace, thank you so much for your time tonight. Chris Peace, public address announcer for the Gwinnett Gladiators and voice of many things. Great guest tonight, number one, Chris Peace in Atlanta.
Man, you know, what an awesome, awesome individual, somebody who definitely takes advantage of the opportunities that are given to them in life. And so, you know, it is something miraculous when you are able to get a job like this at being a PA announcer and, you know, and calling games for various teams, but more importantly, being the voiceover. You know, that sounds pretty cool. And I'm sure that the, you know, he is able to make a super, super duper honest living, Sean Wally. And it sounds like a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, now what I'm going to do next, Sean, is go look up those old Dreamcast commercials on YouTube so I can hear Chris at work.
No doubt about it, man. No doubt. And, you know, when he said that, it took me right back. And, you know, I got excited and was looking to pull out the Dreamcast. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we return, we're going to have guest number two, CSN Bay Area's own Mindy Bach. So keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the Double with the Double S Express.
Yo, VIP. Let's kick it. Ice, ice, baby. Ice, ice, baby.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400. The safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com. andro400.com.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boy.
Standing in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And the world's gonna know your name.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Boyd alongside Sean Wally. Show number 68. guest number one, Chris Peace from the Gwinnett Gladiators. Man, Sean, Chris Peace was just that. He's a piece, man.
Just hilarious. You know, I wasn't joking about the whole comedy tour. He could tell jokes forever. And hey, he's starring, like you said, on his back patio nightly. So we might have to catch one of those one of these days.
You know, all these times I was thinking that it would take hard work and dedication to make it and be successful as an announcer slash broadcaster. And all you have to do is smoke a pack of Marlboros and drink Jack Daniels.
Well, heck, it's really easy for Mr. Peace to drink the Jack because he was probably given that when he was the voiceover artist for their facility tour.
Yeah, but, you know, can you imagine just all the things that he has gone through in all the states? We didn't get a chance to cover, you know, most of the things that he's done and all the, you know, the territories that he has accomplished. And, of course, right now he's presiding in Atlanta, Georgia, and, you know, professional hockey in Atlanta, Georgia. I can only imagine how, you know, peculiar, but at the same time, exciting it is to have that opportunity.
Well, plus they've got it good now because Atlanta doesn't have an NHL team anymore. Last few years, the Atlanta team had moved away. So the ECHL team is the only hockey in town. So they've got a good thing going. They're going to change their name to the Atlanta Gladiators, I believe, for this next season. And that's only going to help get that name out there and that recognition.
So just think about this time next week when we're on the show, we will be congratulating you guys, the both of you, for accomplishing a feat and being PA announcers for the Harlem Globetrotters. Man, how does that sound?
Amazing, Mr. Boyd. And you know, we might know. We were told that it would be about a week. So a week would be in a couple days. So we'll see if by the end of the week we know something one way or another.
As a matter of fact, hey, Don, let's make sure that next week when we come back on the air that we have Sweet Georgia Brown playing because it's going to be a celebration. We're going to celebrate this one hands down. It'll be the 69th show, and we will celebrate you guys if they make that decision by playing some Sweet Georgia Brown. How about that?
Well, we've used it before here on the double, so we should have it available. If not, we can make that happen between now and then. And I think they've got three or four of us that are A1, 2, 3, and, you know, we'll see which way they want to go.
Yeah, and so what Chris was saying is that there was some real stiff competition for you guys, and they pulled no punches as far as bringing in, you know, a different variety of people.
Yeah, absolutely. They had people from all over the country. There was a Barry White type, really deep voice. A guy that came from the Cleveland area. They had a guy from Bend, Oregon. So lots of guys all over the country that were flown into Phoenix. And, you know, hopefully a couple good friends and acquaintances came out of that. And Chris Peace being one. And another guy that is possibly in the running, Jared down in Bend, has IBL ties going back to our days when you and I were with the Thunder in the IBL as well.
Yeah, you know, the IBL has come a long way as far as the talent pool is concerned, not just for players, but, of course, broadcasters. It has opened a platform that has allowed many people to get themselves to the next level. And this situation right here isn't, you know, is one that, you know, is for the taking. And so, you know, it's exciting. It's exciting for you guys to get out there and show the competition. And at the same time, getting for you to get a chance to meet, you know, Chris and, you know, to, you know, friend each other. And of course, here he is on our show, getting a chance to share some of the things that he has done over the years, which is tremendous, of 20 plus years. And, you know, just a great sense of humor.
Now, Sean, you're going to have good things coming your way as well. Not only working college and NFL games for the networks, but got some good things in the pipeline for your second season with the NFHS Network.
Yeah, you know, I'm very excited about that, Sean Wally. I mean, this is a platform that allows me to, you know, to spread my wings a little bit. And what I mean by that is just doing things that are different from the norm that you and I are used to. I mean, we're used to the baseball and football and basketball, but what the NFHS Network allows me to do is it also allows me to call, you know, some games of obscurity. And what I mean by that is you know, get a chance to call, you know, cross country, tennis, you know, golf for, you know, for lack of a, you know, or actually golf at the same time. And so, you know, those things are fun, you know, to get a chance to expand your repertoire and your resume to make things better for yourself.
Sean, we've got big time guest number two waiting out there on the holysmokenuts.com phone lines. Let's welcome in from CSN Bay Area sports reporter Mindy Bach. Mindy, thanks for joining us tonight.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Mindy, you have been very, very busy here over the past, I would say, 10 hours with just some great things going on in the Bay, for one.
Great things and some painful things if you watch both Giants games. So,
well, there's some good things going on in the East Bay if you're a Raiders fan. It sounds like Derek Carr getting a chance to be the starter this upcoming Sunday on the 6th for the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, I think I like the bold approach Dennis Allen has taken, because a big question was, you know, is it more because Matt Schaub's elbow is not going to allow him to start, or is it more what they saw from the rookie during the preseason, especially that last preseason game that he started where he led the Raiders on just four scoring drives, including three touchdown passes of his own. And it really is more to do with just his upside and his development and his command of the offense. So Schaub still may not be 100%, but still Dennis Allen saying, let's go with a rookie. We've shown what he can do, and his teammates have, you know, confidence in him. And so I like it. I like the bold move, because I think a lot of times teams get trapped on the money they've spent on a starter and what they've brought in. But it kind of reminds me, I'm not equating the team, don't go there, but you know, when the Seahawks brought in Matt Flynn and they brought him in to be the starter, and then Pete Carroll saying, no, I got to go with a rookie, Russell Wilson, you know, just because I like what I see in him, going with their gut, not going with where the money was spent.
And Mindy, I'd mentioned that earlier in the show, the same thing that you were just talking about. And we can also take it, you know, to last year, which is also a little different. I mean, we had a Matt Flynn coming into Oakland, and at the same time, you know, is almost a little bit of deja vu in week one. You had Terrell Pryor coming in and taking over the starting reins there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the different situation, though, is that when you have the same coaching staff, now they can kind of start to build a system and get players in their draft in their system, sort of like what we've seen with other teams. I think it was so hard for that first year in those early seasons for Dennis Allen to come in, and you have players from all over, and what are you putting together? Who do you have? And they couldn't bring in anyone their first 2 years. So this is the first time that they've really been able to build, you know, his third season with the team and pick players that they need. But it's a long ways to go, but it's a good start. I'm looking forward to seeing what Derek Carr and the rest of the Raiders will do in New York this weekend.
Mindy, what are reasonable expectations for the Raiders in 2014?
Oh, gosh. Who knows? I think anywhere to go is up. When you look at their schedule and who they are playing this year, I mean, you have a rookie quarterback. You have a very veteran defense, but new veterans to each other on that defense. How are they going to meld? And they're going up against, obviously, not only their AFC division rivals, but they're going up against the NFC West. They're going up against the Seahawks and the 49ers and a very good Cardinals team. So, I mean, they have a very tough schedule. I don't think you can put any expectations on them, because anything they do and accomplish is going to be better than where they were last year. So I just can't even play that game. There are just too many what ifs. It's just, you want to see them play well and compete. I think that is my only expectation for them. Let's see them compete and build week after week. That's where they are right now.
Mindy, going south to Santa Clara, the 49ers are having issue after issue, if not on the field. Now they have continued issues off the field with defensive lineman Ray McDonald being hit with felony domestic violence. At what point do the Niners hit the panic button?
Well, I think they don't panic. That's the one thing. And what's really difficult, I think, for people to understand is Ray McDonald was arrested, yes, and he was bailed out, but they can't really make any decisions until this process has gone through, you know, the court system to see, really, is he going to be charged with anything? Is anything going to happen? It's similar to what happened last year with Alden Smith. You know, obviously he had some serious charges against him, but he wasn't suspended by the league. The 5 games that he missed was a voluntary leave, you know, to go get help for his personal issues. But the league didn't suspend him until this year. The same thing's going to happen with Ray McDonald. There's really nothing the 49ers can do until they find out, you know, what's going through the court process, other than to support him and make sure he's getting whatever personal help he needs, if there are issues there, whatever the issues are. But the 49ers, unfortunately, are well-versed in taking care of these kinds of situations. It doesn't mean they like it, but, you know, unfortunately, I don't think it will be a distraction. It's because they know Ray, they know the type of player and person he is, and I have to say, on the field and at the practice facility, he does come across as a very soft-spoken, quiet guy. I don't know what he's like in his private life and what happened over the weekend, but I do know that his teammates really like him, and he's part of that defensive front. He and Justin Smith are very tight, you know, as far as teammates go. So I think that the 49ers will handle it well because they've been dealing with these issues for a while, unfortunately.
Mindy Bach, kind enough to join us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And Mindy, you've mentioned, you know, these layers of things that have been happening over the past couple of years. You know, is it something that Jim Harbaugh is accustomed to as far as making the adjustments? What does it look like in camp? You know, this week, does it look like it's, you know, business as usual, or do you see some types of, you know, kinks in the chain, if you will?
What do you mean? You mean as far as running the team and offensively, yes, defensively, or just with all the stuff with going on with Ray McDonald and the off-field issues?
Yeah, just the X's and O's on the field. How, you know, how are the 49ers going at it? Are they going at it as business as usual, or do you see just a little bit of difference in their temperament?
Well, no, they're going to go along as business as usual. It's week one. You know, obviously, this is a big opening week for them, and the coaching staff is in its fourth season together, all of the same coordinators, mostly the same assistants, and the same head coach. So they know how to move forward. And I think the best thing for them and what they see for them is business as usual. You're not going to change things now. You know, you're going to just do what you do best and work on what you do best. They'll have all of their starters available for, you know, the game against the Dallas Cowboys. And so, no, there's not going to be any change there. It's too veteran a coaching staff and too many veterans actually on both the offensive and defensive side of the ball that they know how to prepare for this game, and they can take, you know, setbacks in stride. They know how to move forward.
Now, Mindy, shifting gears here, going to baseball, as you had just mentioned, you know, just got off the air, as a matter of fact, covering Giants baseball. Now, the San Francisco Giants, it seems like it's one step forward, two steps back as far as trying to get themselves into this wild card position. Of course, they played the Colorado Rockies today, and how did that go?
Well, they won the first game, which, believe it or not, was a continuation of the game from May 22nd. So they won a May 22nd game, which was today. That was kind of fun to watch. So all of the stats from today go to May 22nd, that game. They picked up that win. But then they had a huge lead, a 7-2 lead in their game against the Rockies with Tim Hudson starting. Tim Hudson looking for his first ever win at Coors Field, and it just didn't happen. It's a crazy place to play. He ended up giving up 5 earned runs over his outing, and then the Giants were up 7-2, went down 9-7. Then at the top of the ninth, they tied it up. And then in the bottom of the ninth, Sergio Romo unfortunately gave it up, and it was a walk-off win for the Rockies. So they dropped one to the Rockies this afternoon. And that's just kind of what's been frustrating about the Giants, is they play so well. Like, they started off just gangbusters at the beginning of the season, and they hit a horrific lull. And it seemed like just that their offense was getting going. And then tonight, it was just it was painful because they just couldn't put the Rockies away. They were up 7-2. They lost 10-9. So that kind of just sums up the
Colorado for them. Yeah, that's definitely disheartening.
The Dodgers are losing right now. Yeah, the Dodgers are losing right now. So that could help them a little bit.
Mindy, across the bay in the AL West, the Oakland A's, a similar story. They were leading the West, leading all of Major League Baseball for the majority of the season. Now they have hit a few speed bumps in the road, and they lost 4 in Anaheim, and now they got a victory today against Seattle. It seems like September is going to be fun in both the NL and the AL West.
I hope so. I think what was so great about watching the A's, or what has been so great about watching the A's all season, is they were a team that battled until the final out. It doesn't matter if they are ahead or behind. I mean, the one game that just sticks in my mind, I don't even know who it was against, but the A's were up by 3 at home, and in the bottom of the eighth with two outs, Craig Gentry comes up. And he could have, you know, maybe not given it top effort, but he did. Two outs in the bottom of the eighth, he gets a hit, gets on base, and then his teammates bring him in. So now the A's go into the top of the ninth just needing three outs. They're up by three runs. Well, the opponent ended up scoring two in the top of the ninth, and they go on to win by one. But that's what made them so good, all those come-from-behind wins, the walk-off wins, just all the streaks and the best record in Major League Baseball for a while, because they fought whether they were up or down. And what was so painful to watch in Anaheim is at the time they needed to do that the most, they didn't. And they scored four runs total over four games against their division rival, a division rival they needed to beat because they dug themselves into a five-game hole against them in the division. So Bob Melvin, yeah, goes in and gives them an earful last night after their fourth loss. And then tonight they come out, Adam Dunn, his first at-bat as an Athletic, hits a home run. The A's score five runs in the first inning. It's just, we saw that fighting spirit back from them again. You know, Giovanni Soto getting his first base runner, catches his first base runner stealing all season. He was on the DL most of the season. So he picks up his first big milestone for himself. So it really bodes well heading into this final month that they need to get that back. And they definitely showed signs of that in this win.
Now, Mindy, you had just mentioned Adam Dunn. How important is Adam Dunn in this, you know, in this big cog that he is to the Oakland A's, you know, taking care of some unfinished business?
Well, absolutely. You see that he's had four home runs in his last 13 games, and they're going to need that power. They're going to need his offense, because we see Coco Crisp go out, and he's such a catalyst to that offense as well. And then you have John Jay, so you don't know what his situation is offensively, you know, with his health. So they need offense wherever they can get it. And it's just like, this is a year that we saw Billy Bean go all in. He got Samardzija, he got Hamill, you know, he brings in Dunn, he brings in Soto. He's bringing in a lot of players, and now, they, like I said, they have this hole that they've dug themselves against the Angels. They need everybody to step up. That's what the A's have been about. So Adam Dunn is going to be a big part of that. That's why they brought him in for his bat.
Yeah, I believe that Adam Dunn is definitely that piece that they're missing. Of course, after Cespedes left, just seems right. Like the bats have gone away, and now when you pick up that void – with Adam Dunn, of course, knocking it out in his first at-bat, that just does nothing but uplifts the team and the organization as a whole.
Yeah, that's why you bring in those players for a little bit of a fresh start. And it's nice that just Jason Hamill, two solid outings from him too, because obviously we saw his start with the A's very, very, very rough. But now his last two outings, I mean, you look at what he's done, Sean, 15 innings pitched. He's only given up six hits and two earned runs and struck out 11, so he's finding a great stride. They're going to need that down the stretch.
Mindy, I tell you, it is definitely great to have you here on the show. And, of course, you are the pride of Chico.
And I have that to accept you. It's not me. It's Aaron Rodgers. Believe me.
Well, I was going to say that you are the pride of Chico over Aaron Rodgers even.
Oh,
and, you
heck
know.
No.
Coming out of Pleasant Valley High School, and Sean Wally, you and I have had the chance to frequent Pleasant Valley High School. I don't know if you remember that, but we had our stint in the IBL, the International Basketball League, in Pleasant Valley. Chico had a team that played at Pleasant Valley High School, and so we got a chance to see your confines and where you grew up, Mindy, and I tell you, you have done an awesome job as far as propelling yourself and your career.
Okay, well, thanks, Sean. But I have to tell you, I didn't go to PV. Aaron Rodgers went to PV. I went to Chico High.
You went to Chico, and he went to Pleasant Valley. Okay, all right.
Exactly. Got to give a shout-out to my Panthers. Come on.
The Chico
You're
Panthers.
Killing me.
Yeah, and that's a huge rival. I can't take that lightly. That is a huge rival out there when it comes to the Chico against Pleasant Valley.
Well, there are only two high schools in Chico, so of course it's natural. You know, you have the Almond Bowl every year, Chico against PV. It's a big Almond Bowl football game, and so yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun, but it's a great town, great place to grow up. And so yes, I will take second billing to Aaron Rodgers, and I, you know, Mike Sherrard, a lot of guys coming out of Chico. Believe me, I'm behind them all. I don't mind at all.
Now, Mindy, in the world of sports reporting and sports broadcasting, what advice would you have for somebody in high school or college looking to do what you do?
Oh, I get that question a lot. I get a lot of young college interns that come in and they want to know what my advice is to them. And it might be a little different than what people think, but it's still the basics. Write really, really well. You need to know how to tell a good story and write. Stay away from cliches and sports cliches and don't try to be anybody else. So be a strong writer, but develop your own style. You can't copy anyone else because you can't be another Stuart Scott or Chris Berman because they're already out there. So you need to be yourself. You can't be things you're not. And then the third thing is just there's so many different avenues where you can get experience. So wherever you're going to get varied experience and a lot of experience, whether it's on the internet, you know, writing and broadcasting, or if with a small minor league team, or you know, the college paper, anything, there's so many things. You just have to get your foot in the door and make your own path. There's no one path. Everyone's path in this business is completely different. And then my fourth thing, which surprises a lot of people, is learn Spanish. Become fluent in Spanish if you're not, because all sports are so multinational. And I can speak conversationally with some of the baseball players, but if I could speak to them fluently, it would be such an advantage. Not only that, but in soccer and other sports. And the world of sports is just international. Every sport is international now. So learn Spanish. That's my fourth and final advice, which shocks a lot of college students, but if they know it, they have a foot up, believe me.
Mindy Bach, thank you for being on the show here on the Double with the Double S Express. And of course, you know, I enjoy the times that you and I get to talk, you know, week in and week out in Santa Clara, formerly in San Francisco. And, you know, I learn a lot of things from you and of course, Matt Maiocco as well. And if you want to catch Mindy, you can catch her on CSN Bay Area, or you can catch her on Twitter at MBachCSN. And again, Mindy, thank you for being on.
Oh, anytime. Thanks for having me, Sean.
Thanks for your time, Mindy. Mindy Bach from CSN Bay Area.
Wow, you know, just a lot of information and, you know, a lot of knowledge coming from Mindy. Of course, you know, joking, you know, with her about being the pride of Chico. I mean, there's some seriousness about that, Sean. It is, you know, in this industry, it is very tough. It is very tough to stake your claim as far as who you are and who you want to be. And you know, for Mindy to get in there, to get into, at the time, FSN, which is now Comcast Sportsnet, you know, it takes a lot. It takes a lot of, you know, preservation. It takes a lot of, you know, making sure that you are crossing your T's and dotting your I's. And Mindy is one of the best that I've watched here on CSN Bay Area. And, you know, just wish her all the best in her future.
Now, Sean, we are just 3 days away from the start of the NFL season, or as they call it, the kickoff game Thursday in Seattle, as the Seahawks welcome in the Green Bay Packers and one Aaron Rodgers, as we just learned from Pleasant Valley High School. Let's go ahead and pick the three games from the teams that we talk about and our listeners want to know about: the Seahawks, the Raiders, and the Niners. So the first game, Green Bay at Seattle. Sean Boyd, your take.
Well, you know, it looks like Seattle has everything clicking. And I mentioned this last week. I haven't seen a team that actually puts things together with their starters in their opening drives as well as the Seattle Seahawks do. I believe that the defense is chomping at the bit to go out onto the field and prove themselves as the Super Bowl champions. And they are. The Seattle Seahawks are the Super Bowl champions until beaten. And, you know, for the Green Bay Packers, there are some cogs in their system that, you know, are very strong from last year. Let's face it, they didn't have as good of a season as they should have. And I think that they are, you know, they've bettered themselves in some areas. I believe a healthy Aaron Rodgers doesn't bode well for Seattle. But the way I'm picking this, you know, I've got to pick Seattle in this one. I believe that the Seahawks can walk away with this victory. You know, my prediction for the game is 24-21. Seattle.
A tight contest, says Sean Boyd, but Seattle on top. That's a good thing for Seahawk fans and the 12th man. And I see no way Green Bay comes in here week one with an overflow crowd, standing room only. Not only that, but the entire north parking lot is being taken up for the pregame concert event for Soundgarden and Pharrell. and you've got Ariana Grande singing the national anthem. You've got the NFL in town in Pioneer Square starting Tuesday for 2 days of an NFL kickoff event. It's just a big spectacle. And for the Packers to come in here and rub mud in the Seahawks' face, and no, that's not happening. I don't care how big of a cheesehead you are. There's no way that's going to happen.
So you're saying that if the Seahawks win, we can thank Pharrell and Soundgarden for this victory.
Hey, you can thank whoever you want to thank, but hey, Pharrell's getting everybody to be happy, so that's a good thing pregame. And I'm just saying that it's an entire spectacle about the largest event the entire league puts on for a regular season game, bar none.
Now, hold on a second, because this is a very important question here. Now, are the Seahawks going to get their rings in this game this Thursday?
Doubtful. They were already presented at a party in Seattle at EMP, okay. And one Usher was the guest that put on a mini concert for them.
So no Super Bowl celebration, no hangover, anything going into this first week is what you're saying?
I would think there would be a championship banner unveiled.
So the banner gets unveiled, it gets raised. Okay. You know, I'm still going to pick Seattle in this one. You know, even though that could be, you know, a little bit of fuel for the visiting team coming in to actually play a little bit tougher, a little bit harder. But yeah, I'm going to stick with Seattle on this one, 24-21.
All right, now moving on to Sunday morning, the Oakland Raiders and Raider Nation look to invade the New York football, not Giants, the Jets. How do you see this one shaping up?
Well, you know, the line for this game has the Jets favored by +2. And, you know, that is no respect at all for the Raider Nation and for the Oakland Raiders. I am hoping that, you know, that Oakland comes out and solidifies themselves with a run game. And it looks like that's what they're going to do. They're going to run first, you know, to establish protection for their quarterback. And I believe that'll be great for Derek Carr. I do know that, you know, the Raiders haven't opened up their whole playbook yet. And so look to have some players such as James Jones come in and play an important part. And of course, new additions to the Oakland Raiders in the backfield. And that is Maurice Jones-Drew. And then, of course, on the defensive side, they have solidified some things as well. I don't think that the Oakland Raiders are the pushover that people think they are. I as a matter of fact, I know that they're not number 32, you know, as far as the power rankings, as I see week after week. So for this game, you know, and we had talked a little bit about this earlier, about the Jets not being all there as well and still trying to find some things and fine-tune some things, especially with injuries, and trying to find out where their ground is, you know, as a team offensively. I have the Raiders winning this one going into New York, taking care of business, and this one would be 17-13 Oakland.
Sean, I know you're sitting down. You might want to buckle up, because I also am going to say that the Raiders go into the Meadowlands and come away with a victory, because the Jets are the Jets. They're not that great. There's no reason. This is a pick'em game to me. Whoever wins the turnover battle, I think, will win this contest. And I think with Carr starting on the offensive side at quarterback for the Raiders, he can be the difference maker and fuel the Raiders on to victory, which would be a huge thing for Raider Nation.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you, Sean. It is definitely a pick'em game. This is a game for both teams to actually, you know, catapult themselves into existence, if you will. And let's face it, with the Raiders over the past couple of years at 4-12 the past two seasons, this is a chance for them to start out on the right foot, you know, take the car out and drive it, if you will, and to see if Derek can actually, you know, run a team and get that team up and down the field and put points on the board like he showed in the last preseason game against Seattle.
Now, Sean, the 49ers are on the road as well, Sunday at 1:25 Pacific against the hated Dallas Cowboys at Jerry World. This is one time I am not. it's tough to do as I stumble there. It's hard to even get it out. But
just go ahead and do it.
I'm okay. Tony Romo and the Cowboys, because with the turmoil going on in Santa Clara and the 49ers having so much trouble on offense, and you've seen it firsthand working a preseason game at the new stadium, I think that the Cowboys can get this win on their home field.
You know, and I knew that you were going to go that route. And you know what, to be honest with you, Sean, you know, part of me says, yeah, you know what, you could be right. But here's the reason why I'm going with the San Francisco 49ers. It's just what Mindy was talking about. This is not anything new that the 49ers have gone through over the past couple of years. They've seen this type of, you know, these things happen, you know, as far as, you know, in the locker room with Ahmad Brooks, Alden Smith, and, of course, Ray McDonald. And we can't forget Chris Culliver as well. You know, so they have a plethora of people that have been making these mistakes. I just think that the 49ers, despite the injuries, despite the off-the-field problems that they're having, I like Jim Harbaugh and the fact that I believe that he can get his team prepared to play this game. And, you know, when I look at the Dallas Cowboys, it's the Dallas Cowboys. You know, you're talking about a team that every year is put at the top in their division because, you know, for whatever reason, there's a lot of talent there, but they just can't seem to get it right. And so, you know, with that being said, I just think that San Francisco comes out week one, takes care of business, and goes into Dallas. And, you know, as much as we think that Dallas is going to make this a competitive game, I see the San Francisco 49ers, and now brace yourself for this one. I see the San Francisco 49ers winning this game. Now, I've called a couple of close games. This one, I am looking at 31-10 San Francisco in week one.
Wow.
31-10. Yes. It's Dallas. I mean, I don't know how else to explain it. It's Dallas. It's, you know, everything that, you know, Jerry's world is about. You know, all of these things, we've talked about the 49ers and the bad things that happened there. We talked about the beleaguerness of the Oakland Raiders and how they need to make themselves better. But there is one team that trumps all of that stuff. There is one team year after year that trumps that hands down, and that is the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know how else to explain it. It's just, I believe that San Francisco is going to go in there and just punch them in the mouth and, you know, look forward to week two. There, I said it.
Time will tell. I mean, I would agree that the Cowboys' defense is suspect, but they've got a lot of weapons on offense. And in the fourth quarter, I dare to say I trust Romo more than I trust Kaepernick if it comes down to the arm of the quarterback.
Yeah, now if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But, you know, I can't put my finger on believing that San Francisco was just that bad in the preseason. You know, I'm thinking that they have something up their sleeve. They're probably going to come out week one and look like, you know, nothing has ever gone on in the locker room. That, you know, that's what I'm anticipating. And so I could be wrong. Dallas could come out there and just smack San Francisco all over the place. But, you know, for me, what I'm predicting is that San Francisco, you know, Colin Kaepernick, Frank Gore goes in there and they establish a strong running game. And then they also get some things going as well. You know, with the passing game, we can't forget, you know, Stevie Johnson, the addition to the 49ers, along with Vernon Davis being in camp, doing what he needed to do. You know, I see those guys playing a big role in the win this Sunday.
Now, Sean, a couple quick points before we close show 68. A big game in Seattle on Saturday in the college football ranks as the Eastern Washington Eagles look to invade the University of Washington.
And so my Eastern alum, I am so excited that, you know, this game has come up. And of course now Eastern has fallen to number two, I believe, in the country in the polls, but that's no big deal. Number one or two, I mean, as long as they finish number one at the end of the season. But Eastern comes into Montlake to play the Washington Huskies. And I was thinking that this would be one of those games to where maybe with Chris Peterson as the head coach that, you know, they would click on all cylinders. But what I saw this past weekend, Sean Wally, I was just devastated to see, you know, the boys from Montlake. They go over to Honolulu. They play the University of Hawaii. And, of course, you know, I know that there's a new head coach over there in Norm Chow. And I know in the offseason he has done some awesome things, and he has a great pedigree. But what I saw from the Washington Huskies as far as, you know, from a team standpoint, I was not impressed at the least. And I know that their quarterback, C.J. Miles, was out. He should be back, a quarterback. But, again, with that being said, I just saw a tough, beleaguered team in week one.
Yeah, you have to wonder how much of that was nerves of the first game, the if they got caught up of being in paradise, quote-unquote. And so, yeah, it's definitely going to be a tough test for the Huskies. And Eastern doesn't have much to lose. I mean, they're going up to play an FBS school, and, you know, they're moving up to the higher division, and they're basically playing the older stepbrother, the bigger, better, badder, and they want to put their mark on that field, and they've got the team to do it. You know, they're 2-0 after a win this weekend, and I think they're primed and ready.
Yeah, you know, and if that's the case, then, you know, a great for the University of Washington. I do want to see a strong showing. I want to see Eastern Washington go in and do, you know, what they did a few years ago in going in and showing that, you know, there isn't much difference in 1AA and Division One. I want the Eastern Eagles to go in there and actually pull an upset just to show that aspect. And, I don't know. You know, as far as the University of Washington is concerned, I was expecting greater things from the University of Washington. What I saw last week was just nothing short of just of pathetic. They couldn't move the ball in the second half, and it seemed like I guess they kind of slowed down a little bit and allowed the Huskies to pull out that victory. And of course, it was 17-16. But again, it should be exciting for Eastern Washington to go in there and prove that there's a reason why they're ranked the number 2 in the country.
And we can't forget, it is September now on the calendar. Big time in Major League Baseball, the AL West. Big things going on. The Angels have leapfrogged over the A's. The A's in the lead for the wild card, taking on the Mariners at O.co. Today's game definitely went the way of the A's, as, man, Chris Young couldn't hit the broadside of a barn and had the shortest outing of his career. Adam Dunn, welcome to Oakland.
Yeah, you know, now there are some things that are happening in Oakland that, you know, we were looking for these things to happen all year. And what I mean by that is there are a lot of people on the IR, on the disabled list, that are starting to come back. Of course, the Oakland getting their shortstop back. You mentioned the signing of Adam Dunn, that much needed threat in the middle of the lineup that should basically balance some things out. And what a difference he made as a result of Adam Dunn being inserted into the lineup. You could see Josh Donaldson was getting, you know, started to get his bat going. You know, a couple other players were getting, you know, getting timely hits. And so I think that this might be what the doctor ordered for the Oakland A's. Being 5 games out from first place, though, it's a little daunting with 25 games left in the remaining of the season. But if anybody can do it, you know, I'm believing that the Oakland A's can put something together. I don't know how many games they have left between the Oakland A's, the Seattle Mariners, and the Los Angeles Angels. But if there are a few more times that these teams have to play each other, I think that, you know, Oakland has put themselves in a great position to make a comeback.
And if you can out there, circle your calendars for Wednesday on the eve of the NFL kickoff game between Green Bay and Seattle. We have a fabulous pitching matchup down in Oakland. We have one Felix Hernandez on the hill for Seattle against Bellarmine Prep of Tacoma native John Lester for Oakland.
Yeah, and, you know, Johnny Lester is, you know, is doing a very good job, you know, since coming over from Boston. And I think the biggest thing that Johnny needs is he needs run support. And so he's done a pretty good job of keeping his ERA down and, you know, putting the team in position to win. He just hasn't had the bats. And again, as I was saying with Adam Dunn, I'm thinking that this might be what the doctor ordered to get, you know, to get these bats going, to keep the pitcher on his toes a little bit and thinking, you know, hey, I'm not going to just throw straight heat. Now for Felix Hernandez, as you know, Sean, he's had a, you know, a tough past two outings. So I can't see him having a third one. So it should be a great pitcher's duel coming up.
Well, Sean, you mentioned that Felix has been not his normal self. There's rumors starting to creep. People are wondering, is he injured? Because he's not looking himself. He gave up 4 home runs for the first time in his entire career Friday night in Seattle.
Well, this is what you and I have been going back and forth on over the past month or so, as far as, you know, being there before. And I was talking about the Los Angeles Angels and the Detroit Tigers and the Oakland A's. Being there before, this is a long season. 162 games is a long season, and Seattle hasn't been in this type of a fight for a long time. And so with that being said, you're starting to see, you know, some of the, you know, tiredness coming out from the Seattle Mariners. You're starting to see Felix, you know, be a little lax as far as his, you know, his pitch placement is concerned. You're starting to see Robinson Cano just taking a nosedive because, again, this is a long Major League Baseball season. And so, the toll is starting to take. And so, am I counting Seattle out? No, because I still believe that Seattle has a chance to get that second wild card spot. But that means something, and that's what you're seeing. You're starting to see, you know, the aces, the tops, you know, the top pitchers in Seattle starting to get a little fatigue, and it's up to them. It's up to them to fight through it a little bit and close out the season strong.
Sean, it's been a great show. Special thanks to big time guest number one tonight, Chris Peace, for staying up late in Atlanta on the East Coast. The public address announcer for the Gwinnett Gladiators of the ECHL and hopeful public address announcer for the Harlem Globetrotters. And, of course, big-time guest number two, Mindy Bach from Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area. And you'll definitely want to tune in next Monday night as we venture into the world of music and have Theory of a Dead Man bassist Dean back on the show. Should be a great show, as next week, Theory of a Dead Man will come through the Tri-Cities and perform in Kennewick, Washington. Dean Back joining us next week.
A little bit of diversity, if you will, Sean, bringing in Dean Back in. And, of course, he'll get a chance to talk sports and flex his knowledge a little bit. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be a new realm for us. And, you know, this band is Canadian, so I'm sure they'll be pro hockey. And we'll see what else they like and get some insight on what it's like to tour the world and play music.
Hey, Sean, I just wanted to take a quick second to thank all of our listeners for tuning in and listening on the Double with the Double S Express. And, of course, we just want to thank you for taking this time out today on Labor Day, you know, a day of celebration, a day of reflection for all of us working stiffs, if you will, whether you work a 9-to-5 or you own your own business. You know, we thank you for tuning in to On the Double. And of course, you know, our fan base and people who are constantly listening on this Labor Day, I have to send that shout out to Howe Avenue again, Verizon Wireless, for having On the Double playing on their devices out there. And so that's some exciting stuff. And of course, Sean, I know you have some people to send a shout out to also, but you know, happy Labor Day to all our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a great holiday, a great time to reflect and recharge and, you know, come out swinging on Tuesday and make great things happen and keep storming in the future. And that's what we plan to do here on the show. And it starts as soon as we're done here, but also next week, you know, going into a new avenue, a new direction, and bringing you something different.
Man, show number 68 in the books, Mr. Wally. We get a little bit wiser. We have some awesome guests on. We get a little bit smarter. And next week, we get to do it all again. And I'm excited, man.
That's right. That's the 69th show next week. Hard to imagine. We're almost to 70 around the corner. Show 68 of On the Double with the Double S Express has reached its end. Hope you had a great Labor Day. Finish it out strong. We'll talk to you next week. For Sean Boyd, I'm Sean Wally. You've been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Yeah, you can be the greatest. You can be the best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest. You can beat the world.
with the war. You can talk to God, go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up. You